Well, thank you, Jesus. As we come to open your word and talk some more about the armor of God, I pray that we truly will recognize that all of this is of you. It's only because of you that we can have the protection that we have in this battle that we're in. We're grateful, God, that you not only supply all of our needs, but you take us and cover us and present us holy where we really have no business thinking that we can be declared righteous. And yet, Lord Jesus, because of you, we are truly holy, righteous, and accepted in the Beloved. Help us to live out that calling that you've called us to. In your holy name, Jesus. Amen. One more quick review. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. And just as a reminder, this is the armor of God. This isn't my armor that I can work up in my own strength or somehow come up with a formula for if I just do these things, then I'll be protected. This is truly God that's doing the protecting. The first thing is truth, the belt of truth, and of course Jesus is the truth. Then we're standing firm with the breastplate of righteousness. Well, he is our righteousness. And we're standing firm with feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel, and that readiness even comes from Jesus. Now, readiness does imply that we participate. It's not like he says, okay, I'll take care of everything. You can sit back and be a couch potato. No, it's his strength, and we still put effort into it, but the effort that we put into it would be useless without his covering, without his strength. And that gospel, that good news, that gospel of peace kind of reminds us that we're in a battle for peace. And we want to make sure that peace is what is overcoming as we go through this battle. The shield of faith, again, we just take up. She okay? Yeah. The shield of faith is something that we take up. And again, the faith is something that God apportions to each of us. He gives us that measure of faith that each of us needs. Today we're going to be talking about the helmet. And how many of you ever wear a helmet in any activities that you do? I've seen, Nancy, you've worn a helmet around town, haven't you? You know, it's kind of, you ride your bicycle, if you're a mountain climber or extreme sports in any kind of way, if you're into motorcycling or football or something, everybody sometime in their life will put a helmet on. If you don't, you're probably going to have brain damage. We had a close friend that had a motorcycle shop. He decided one day that, you know, he was in a hurry and didn't put his helmet on when he was testing a bike that he had just fixed. And he ended up wiping out. And that bike slid a long ways on the road, and he slid in front of it, and then the bike caught up with him and hit him, and he's had brain damage ever since. And, you know, Kurt lost his business. He lost, you know, a lot of things during that time because he wasn't able to have his brain bucket on. And having your helmet on for protection is kind of important. When we look at the helmet of salvation, it says here the helmet protects the head. This helmet was thick leather inside and metal outside. Now, some of them were just metal, a lot of different models of helmets that the Romans would wear. Protected the back of the neck, so that's another vulnerable place if somebody's coming at you from behind. It protected the face so that the soldier could keep his eyes on the goal. One of the main reasons for helmets was if people take a broadsword and they're trying to lop your head off or something, you know, you can turn and kind of let that graze off of there. If they're hitting you straight on, they could split your head wide open. That was one of the things they loved to do in battle. And this helmet was kind of an important piece of protective equipment. You know, we've got work helmets and bicycle helmets and all kinds of different helmets. There's a military helmet. They have helmets if you're going to go deep sea diving that would just go over your head and connect to your suit, and you'd be able to breathe under that. If you look at people that are walking on the moon or walking around in space, got a helmet on. all sorts of different ways to protect you, that the head is important. Now, why would Jesus talk about salvation? I think we'll just kind of get into that a little bit. Ephesians 6:17 in just the first half, salvation helmet. Take the helmet of salvation. It's interesting that before this, when he's saying put on the whole armor of God, going way back to verse 10, we're on page 1789 in the Pew Bible, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So those are the items that you're really putting on. Then in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we'll get into the prayer part and whatnot in a week or two. But we're taking up the shield. You're taking up the helmet. This is pieces that you probably wouldn't have on all the time. It's not like every time you saw a soldier that they'd be wearing that helmet. But when they knew that they were in a battle situation, that's when you would take up that helmet. Now, that's kind of weird because salvation is something that I think of that we have all the time. We were saved, once saved, always saved in my mind. And so your salvation is past, present, and future. Your salvation is kind of extended through all things. That protection of salvation is actually always there, whether you're wearing it or not. It's kind of nice to know. There's a couple verses in Ephesians and then another place or two that I'm going to look at, and we'll be relatively brief this morning. It is by grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2, starting with verse 8. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. So we're talking about being saved. What are we being saved from? If somebody's drowning, they need to be saved, right? You throw them a lifeline. If somebody's fallen off of a mountain and they're hanging precariously from some little ledge somewhere, they need to be saved. Search and rescue goes out there. Search and rescue kind of finds a way. What's the best method to get to these people and save them? If you don't realize that you were in need of salvation, if you don't know that you needed to be saved, being saved doesn't really mean a lot to you. Each of us is guilty of sin, and the wages of sin is death. And so we really have the death sentence kind of hanging over us, and I need to be saved from that for sure. But I also need to be saved from myself as far as my propensity towards sin, my ability to take good things and break them and mess them up. And I need to be protected and saved from that. But then also, when you think about, you know, when you die, what happens? My salvation needs to be secure there as well, so that I know that I can be eternally with the Father. And so it is by grace you've been saved, and that's kind of for all of those salvations, the present salvation where we're working on purity and growing, and the future salvation of living in glory, and the past salvation of being covered by the blood through faith. That shield of faith is kind of important again, right? It's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And I like to stop there, because then we can think about, okay, well, good, I don't have to do anything. It's all on God. But the verses don't stop there. And I think what we find consistently throughout all the Scripture is salvation's a gift, grace is a gift, faith is a gift, all these things are gifts from God, but with these gifts we're expected to do something. There's stories about people that were given gifts from somebody and they just buried them and waited, and then when the guy came back and wanted to know, what'd you do with my gift? Well, here it is, and you're wicked. Why didn't you find a way to make that even expand more? When you're given gifts, it's so that you use them. So if you're given spiritual gifts, it's to use them. If you're given something from God, It's to find ways to multiply. God's economy is, I'll take a little seed, you can plant that, it grows a whole bunch of stuff. Okay? God didn't create the zero-sum game that our economy is, where there's limited resources. It's like God's got unlimited resources that keep on happening to expand. And so when you think about gifts, they're going to get better and better. The next part, though, we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the whole concept of gifts, it's all so that we can work, so that we can do. In Titus, now Titus is one of these young pastors, again, that Pastor Paul, Apostle Paul, would write to pastors. He wrote to Timothy a couple letters. He also wrote to Titus. Part of that letter to Titus says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared..." It's like, okay, that sounds nice. The kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. So he's telling Pastor Titus, you know, make sure that you let people know this is a great fun gift. It's from God, and it's got purpose. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God, and we already know those that trust in God are saved, okay? They've got that helmet of salvation on. Those that have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. If we've been saved, if we've been entrusted with salvation, there's a purpose for that. We're to devote ourselves to doing good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. In Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Lord, I'm so grateful that You cared enough about me to place me in a family that already knew You, and they would introduce me to You. And I pray, Lord, that we can find ways to demonstrate Your love, demonstrate Your goodness, Your righteousness, Your purity to those around us. Help us to share with the world what You've done for us. I pray that we can have Your heart for others, that we can love the brethren, love those that aren't yet the brethren, and cause us to be people that are open and loving to all of those around us, just like You have been for us. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.